Thank you, and welcome to all of you. You're here during a really exciting week with the Farm Bill markup and with appropriations hearings being held on the Senate side. So it's great to see you all, and it's also great to be first up because I know you're going to be talking to a lot of people today. And at least when that happens to me, when I go to that kind of meeting, I usually remember what the first speaker said and not so much maybe some of what the follow-up speakers did. So if there's one thing that you remember today as you leave after hearing from a number of us in the department, what I would like it to be is how important the public investment is in agricultural research. We have in this country just celebrated 150 years of the Department of Agriculture. And if you go back to that original foundation, there were two things that were there right from the beginning. One is statistics. Collecting information about agricultural production was one of the first things that the new department started. And the second was the investment in research and new findings and how we could help the farmer by investing in understanding problems that affect agricultural production and trying to find solutions. So that is the message I'd like you to take away, that this research investment is really important. And that over this history that we've had of investment in science, it's had some real payoffs for agricultural producers and also for the consumer. The problem, though, that we seem to be facing these days is that that's taken for granted. Yeah, having a safe and abundant food supply has been the case really since the Dust Bowl days. You know, we really haven't had food shortages in the U.S. since the 1930s. And I think a large segment of the public just kind of takes it for granted that we're going to have this safe, available food supply. You have an important role to play in getting that message out to the public about how important our investment in science is. And you can also help Americans understand how this investment from the past is actually benefiting them today in having this wide array of food products, along with a lot of other things of modern day that they may not even realize came from agricultural science. Here on the East Coast, we're going into mosquito season. And DEET, for example, came out of the USDA research programs to try to develop effective insect repellents. The work that we're doing to develop new vaccines that fight animal diseases, protect our animal herds, are important here, and they're also important overseas. So there are these spillover effects that benefit the American economy by developing new products that can be marketed not only here and are important for agriculture, but can be marketed overseas. The investment that we make in agricultural research strengthens our economy. It creates new jobs, and it also provides great opportunities for really meaningful careers. Students who study the agricultural sciences in this last few years of a real economic downturn have had among the lowest unemployment rates and the highest placement rates when they finish college. So there's good jobs that have been available for students with degrees at the bachelor's, master's, and PhD level in the agricultural disciplines. And I think also from the student's perspective, going into a career either in agricultural production or in any of the industries that are associated with agricultural production is also a meaningful career. kids today are looking for something important in life and something that's going to excite them when they get up in the morning and go to work. And a meaningful career, I think, can be had in these areas of food production and the associated industries. A lot of the work that we do in agricultural science benefits not only farmers here and the consuming public here in the U.S., but it is very important around the world. The United States' investment in science has, for many years, informed the production practices in other countries. And it's also been looked to as being a very important factor in global food security. Just a couple of weeks ago, here in Washington, we hosted an international conference that was held under the auspices of the G8 countries on open data for agricultural science. When the United States hosted the G8 meetings at Camp David last year, the leaders of those eight important countries pledged that they would hold a conference and open the agriculturally relevant data that the eight governments financed, particularly so that it would be helpful to farmers in Africa. We had this meeting 2 weeks ago. We in the United States unveiled our new rural food and agriculture community on data.gov. There are over 350 data sets that are easily located by going to that data.gov portal that come not only from USDA but from other U.S. government agencies that collect data that's relevant to agriculture. Organizations like NASA, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as well as a lot of data from our statistical agency, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, and research that's coming not only from the Agricultural Research Service, but also that's being sponsored in universities. We believe that this open access to data is going to have payoffs in the development of new applications for farmers, both here in the U.S. as well as in developing countries. And we know from the history of investment that we've made in agricultural science that there is a payoff here for our farmers and for the economy. And the economists tell me that for every dollar that we invest in agricultural science, there is a $20 return to the U.S. economy. So it's a really good investment. Our scientific expertise is really deep and broad here in the United States. We have several thousand agricultural scientists who work with me here in the department. And we fund researchers at the land-grant universities across the country, and also others that are at other public universities as well as private universities whose research is important in providing new insights into how we can build the bioeconomy here in the United States. So, welcome. It's great to see you all. I know mostly this is about you asking questions, so I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. And I'd also like, if we have the opportunity, to hear from you as well about how you think we can be getting this message out more broadly to the public. We have, over this past 3 years, had a nearly 20% cut to our agricultural appropriations, and that is really impairing our ability to do the breadth of agricultural research that is so important for our future productivity. So welcome, and as I said, I'm happy to answer questions, and I'd also like to hear from you about how you think we can get our message out. Yes, sir.
Alan Duran with RFD Radio. Talk about cuts. Been some discussion of cutbacks of some of the regional research laboratories. Could you talk a little bit about the future of those labs, and particularly the one in Peoria, Illinois?
Well, we're taking a close look at the research infrastructure that we have. The Agricultural Research Service and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture are the two agencies through which most all of our agricultural research is funded. And our system of research is different from a lot of the other federal departments in that about half is intramural, ARS research, and half is extramural, supported at universities through formula funds as well as through competitive grants. So as we've faced into this budget reduction of almost 20% over the last 3 years, we've come to realize that we can no longer support all of the facilities that the Agricultural Research Service has across the country. Prior to the budget cuts, those numbered over 100. We had to, 2 years ago, close 12 programs at 10 different facilities. And we're proposing in the 2014 budget the closure of 6 additional programs. It's as I said, just a matter of, in this day and age, being able to maintain this vast infrastructure with having had substantial budget cuts. We can't continue to do that. What we can do, though, is to make sure that we are retaining the scientific expertise that we have, consolidating programs at facilities where we can have a larger mass of scientists housed in better research facilities, and try through that mechanism to maintain the program while we're having to close out some facilities. Yes, sir.
Dr. Wataki, Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma Network out of Oklahoma City. A lot of talk in our society today by folks that are very nervous about GMOs in the food supply. And there's obviously calls for legislation that would mandate labeling. There's some private folks that are talking about stepping up and pledging they'll have all their food products labeled in their stores and these type of things. What message does USDA have regarding the safety of GMOs in our food supply? Is there really a difference between a non-GMO food item or food ingredient and a GMO food ingredient?
Well, we have a really good track record on the safety of the genetically engineered crops that are in production currently within the United States. We have philosophically, at the base of the regulatory approach, the concept that we are regulating the safety of the final product, not the technique that was used to achieve that. And in all of the approval processes, the concern is about keeping the focus on the end product as opposed to whether this was traditional breeding or whether we've used some of the newer genetic approaches. From my perspective as chief scientist here at USDA, we need to face into a growing population that's projected by mid-century to be over 9 billion people. And in order to produce the food as well as to provide for all of the other products from agriculture that society is going to be demanding, we're going to need to use all of the approaches that we have, all of the tools in the toolbox that include that whole wide array of approaches towards developing new varieties that are going to be resilient to climate and diseases and pests, and that include the whole spectrum from classical breeding through new genetic techniques. So we look at a good track record on safety and say, look at that track record. Yes.
Yeah, Roger Ward, WLDS, Jacksonville, Illinois. As you were talking about Alan's question with Peoria, the collaboration within the land-grant universities, being from Illinois, they are looking at their budgets being curtailed, the budgets from USDA. Some of the researchers at the university are very concerned about unbiased checking of the research that's being done. What's your thoughts going forward if all the research, or most of it, is done by for-profit companies and we lose the independent research? Do you think that threatens the safety of the food system?
Well, I am a very strong believer in the role that the public sector plays in agricultural research. If you, again, look at our history over this last 150 years, The public investment has gone to provide some fundamental knowledge and insights on how plant systems work, how animal systems work, that have led then to handoffs on some technologies coming out of that research, handoffs to the private sector. So the public investment is enormously important. It's the kind of research that companies are not going to do because there's not an immediate return to them. Or it's also some of the work that economists call public goods. So particularly the research that we are currently doing that provides insights into the development of resilient agricultural systems that are going to be more resilient to variable weather, more resilient to diseases and to pests. A lot of that is work that, again, a single company isn't going to be able to recoup from the rewards from a long-term fundamental investment. So the public research investment is so important for that reason. There are also some things that I think are essentially government responsibilities in research. One example of that is the germplasm collections that ARS maintains that are very important for plant breeding and animal breeding. A lot of the work that we're doing on the investment in mapping the genomes of important crops and livestock species and now going into some of the diseases and pests. That kind of research will have a lot of benefits and provide a lot of insights. But again, mostly a single company isn't going to do that kind of research investment. So the public investment is really important. And the university investment is really important, too, because that's where, through research, we're educating students and also providing then the trained workforce for going out into the private sector. So universities and investing in research that's conducted at universities has really a triple payoff from the results of the research, secondly, the education of both undergraduates and graduate students, and thirdly, because of the extension relationships that we have through the land-grant universities, provides immediate access through extension to information that's provided directly out to the farmer. So the public investment is going to support that infrastructure at universities through the research that we're funding there.
I was going to try to just follow up. I mean, but we're seeing many of those universities now move those dollars from agricultural direct ag, what I'm going to call farmer research, into more of the urban areas and the needs of the greater population. And how do we maintain that public research?
We Well, one of the ways that we maintain it is through the partnership that the department has with the land-grant universities. The appropriations that come from Congress to us and are then allocated out to the universities is through the National Institute on Food and Agriculture. The formula funding, what some people are also calling capacity funds, go to support extension, go to support the agricultural experiment stations on campus, and are matched by funds that are coming from the state. So, you know, that infrastructure remains in place. You're absolutely right that there are demands that are being placed on the land-grant universities to respond to some of the urban issues related at times to agricultural questions and at other times to programs that are also funded through the Congress and through us to the universities, for example, to provide nutrition education. So there is, I think, what you're hearing from the universities, concern that both the federal and the state funding that have traditionally gone to the experiment stations and to extension have been going down. And the message that I think needs to get out is how important both the federal and the state investment are to maintain that infrastructure that's so important for agricultural producers, as well as for communities at the state level.
Chuck Zimmerman, AgWire.com. Should American farmers be at all concerned about the effort to create a more open data situation? I know we're kind of at the start of this open data for ag project, but if I understand it right, a lot of that is aimed at providing information to people around the world, especially in areas that developing countries, that kind of thing. Just from the, you know, a lot of the concerns we're seeing with data today and some misuses of that and hacking into that kind of stuff, I mean, what should there be concerns about? What's being put into there? Where does that data come from? How does it then become public?
Well, I think agricultural producers should be excited about entering into this age of open data for agriculture. If you look at 20 years ago, actually it was the second day of our conference, we were reminded that CERN, one of the physics laboratories in Europe, had 20 years before placed the code for the World Wide Web into the public domain, facilitating the development of the Internet. And when you look at how pervasive that has become in our daily lives, the way that we contact our families and keep in touch, it's been transformational. We believe that this investment in making data available is going to have big payoffs. Another good example is the weather data that have been in the public domain and from which so many different applications have been developed. So by making these data public, it provides opportunities not only for scientists to easily access the data, analyze them, and provide new insights, but it also provides opportunities for companies, for entrepreneurs, to develop apps that are going to be useful to producers here, as well as some apps that may help producers in developing countries. So we think there's going to be a big payoff. Yeah.
Would that be an opportunity to reach more of a base then? Could you see that working?
I think that's a great idea. As a former dean, I think all students should know more about the importance of our agriculture and that as far as the future goes, that it's going to be enormously important to have a healthy agricultural economy, healthy agricultural systems, long-term for the good of society. I was at Texas A&M about this time last year, and there some of the students, undergraduates and graduate students at Texas A&M, had decided that they needed to educate some of their fellow students who weren't in the College of Agriculture. And they organized a day-long festival where prior to the festival, they had recruited several hundred students in the college, given them media training about so that they could go out and talk to the other students from other colleges about what agriculture is all about, what it means for you as a citizen, but perhaps not an Aggie. And so I think there are different ways that universities can, particularly the land-grant universities, educate students as they're going through about how important agriculture is for their future. A kind of a required course is one way, and then the student independent action was, I thought, another great example.
One more question.
Yeah. You've had your hand up all along, Gail.
Gail Cunningham from Champaign, Illinois, Wixie Classic. I guess my question is a buzzword that we're hearing from a lot of organizations, and I'd like to get your definition of what you feel from USDA, the science, education, and health, and this type of thing, is what is your definition of sustainable agriculture?
Well, we use the term sustainable intensification of agriculture as we look at the future. And I've mentioned this already, the growing population, the projections to over 9 billion people by mid-century, all the demands that are being put on agriculture, not only to produce food, but fiber, to build a bioeconomy, producing chemicals that are useful for other purposes in medicine, in manufacturing. And also to provide what are thought of as being aesthetic aspects, a nice countryside, a vibrant forest systems. So the approach that we have been working on is to recognize that in order to be able to provide all of these expectations for future generations, we need to be focusing our research programs on intensification of agricultural production, but to do that in a way that is going to provide for future generations to continue to have that high level of agricultural productivity, as well as maintaining the natural resources that will enable that over generations to come into the future. So we're focusing our research programs around this concept of sustainable intensification of agricultural production.
Could I follow and ask, mm-hmm. Is this a new name for what you've been doing at the Department of Agriculture for all time? Or is this a new directive in your objective to fit the sustainable intensification?
Well, I think we've always had as part of framing the research that we do how we return, how our research is going to provide a reasonable return to the farmer for his investment, and that's going to keep him in business and his family in business over time. I think this concept now is more overt. We're talking about it more directly, and also bringing in more of the natural resources as well as the agricultural systems approach. So for a farmer to be successful over multiple generations is going to mean that farm within the landscape in which it resides has also have to be taken into account. So yes, I think we've always had some of these concepts of long-term sustainability guiding our research programs. They're now more overt, and they're all also couched at a larger landscape level.
Can I do one follow-up? Because this sounds much more like the CAP than U.S. farm policy.
Well, for me, a CAP is a coordinated agricultural project. These are the kinds of research projects where we're bringing together research, undergraduate and graduate education, along with cooperative extension. So it's another new approach that's kind of revisiting the old approach, where we've always tried to further all three of those things. Thank you all so much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr.